by me address you tonight is Fiona Dunn, who, as you can see, sings in our choir. So this was a good Sunday for her to be speaking on. And music is very much an important part of her life, and music making in general is part of her ministry. She ministers here. She's a member of our Bible study group. She also is part of our ministry at St. Peter's with our Little Fishes group there, where she's done a terrific job in helping to grow that particular ministry in the church. And we're very grateful to her for that. Fiona, over to you.
Thank you for those lovely words, Father Kevin. I was going to say, mustn't forget the junior choir at St. Peter's as well, but I've forgotten it in my address as well. So. this is very weird for me because normally on a quiet Sunday, this is the time when I get to sit down and have a rest. Why am I here talking to a congregation in St. Michael and All Angels Church, or indeed any church? What led me from absolute atheism as a teenager to even consider there might be a God? Why me? I couldn't say why, but I can tell you how it happened. I was born blind, and my parents realised this when I was a few months old, and other babies looked round at everything, and I didn't. My father was a teacher, and he noticed that children with any kind of disability got a pretty raw deal. So Mum and Dad sent me away to boarding school 2 months before my 5th birthday to ensure I would get a good education, which I did. However, it had a devastating effect on me emotionally, and I grew into a teenager who was certain that if there was a God, he was pretty horrible or worse, indifferent. So many of us at my secondary school were deeply unhappy, and no one rescued us. There were some lovely staff at the 3 boarding schools I attended, but others who really didn't seem to care about our welfare very much, as long as we did as we were told. Emotion and vulnerability were inconvenient and would be seized on by bullies who themselves were hurting a lot, being so far away from home. The best form of defence was attacking others, I guess. At the age of 17, I was deeply unhappy. Both my best friends, who got me through much of secondary school, had left to study elsewhere, and I felt very alone. One of the care staff asked me and another girl if we wanted to go to a gospel choir concert at a local church. I would almost certainly have said no if it had been a service, but a concert was about the music. And I didn't think I'd be expected to say words I didn't believe. Why should I say them? If God did exist, why did he deserve prayers from me? I was angry with God, so very angry. But music is in my very DNA, and gospel could be uplifting with lovely harmonies, so why not? I don't remember too much about that November evening, except that there was such a feeling of unconditional love in that church. The choir sang their hearts out and meant every single word. They praised their wonderful God, and they surely believed what they were singing. I felt God was speaking to me. I cried my way through that concert. I was so moved and found it so sad that so many people could be so cold and unkind to each other when there could be a loving alternative. Now, I'm sure the choir members all had their own struggles in life, but for me that evening, the church loving and happy place. Afterwards, I dismissed those feelings. I wasn't going to become a Christian. What a ridiculous idea. Me! We had very Christian assemblies in chapel at school, and I hated them. How could these cold people presume to talk to us about a loving God? What did they know about love anyway? I wasn't interested in their God. I didn't want anything to do with him. As time went by, though, I often remembered that gospel choir concert, and I started attending church. Evangelical for a little while, then my musical brain wanted more demanding songs to sing, and I wanted more profound answers to the questions I had. I wanted a community where it was okay to think differently and discuss it without being seen as unchristian. For many years, I attended an Anglican church near where I lived in Worcester. It was so welcoming, like a family. I was baptized and confirmed on the same day at the age of 19. I'll never forget the words, "We welcome you." Not only was there a God who loved me, and Jesus who had suffered and understood suffering, I was part of a wonderfully warm church family who welcomed me. At last, I belonged somewhere. I sang in the church choir and thought singing was my only gift to St. Mark's. But one Sunday, there was an announcement looking for people to write and say intercessions during Sunday morning services. I talked it over with a few people, and I remember my vicar being very supportive. She sent me various forms of intercession I could use as templates, and after a while, I grew in confidence enough to write my own. I'd sit on my sofa with my braille display, usually in the stillness of night with no music or other distractions, and I'd go into my prayer writing zone. It was a serene and beautiful place to be, and many people appreciated my prayers. My reading is a little slower than some because it is physically impossible to read braille as fast as print. And many people said they enjoyed how reflective my prayers were. I smiled to myself and graciously accepted the compliment. Various things changed in my life in my early 30s. I started going out with someone who lived in Richmond, so I visited London quite regularly. I remember being pretty staggered when he said we could get a bus back from somewhere on a Sunday in the evening. Sunday evening buses, or indeed any evening buses, are a rare thing in Worcestershire and in many places outside big cities. The relationship ended, but I thought moving to London would be a great idea. I'd be able to go to all sorts of events without having to spend lots of money on taxis to get home, and I'd have my independence, what with tubes, trains, and regular buses. So, in September 2014, I moved to West London. I went to a church nearer to where I live for a short while. When I asked about being in the choir there, I was told, "We don't need any more musicians." I couldn't believe it. Music is the gift I can bring to the church. I can't easily help with coffee after the service, giving out hymn books, etc. But I can sing and play various instruments. I felt utterly rejected. My gift wasn't accepted. So I looked for another church, I didn't mind travelling by tube. Someone mentioned St. Michael's and how good the choir was. She gave me excellent directions. And I was pleased to note that it was near Turnham Green tube station, where I often changed trains on my way to a lovely ice cream shop and river walks in Richmond. I arrived for the Advent Sunday service in 2014 and sat in the congregation absolutely captivated by the Advent plain song. I hadn't experienced anything like it in a service before, and it was utterly beautiful. I knew I wanted to be a part of that amazing singing, and here I am, talking to you dressed in my choir robes. What could be more fitting? Of course, once a church has got you, they get you to do things. When St. Peter's became our sister church, Judy Miller suggested I could play music with the new toddler group she was setting up. Toddlers? What did I know about toddlers? Apart from being a bit like one. I went along and watched what Tassie did with the little angels here at St. Michael's. And Judy was an excellent guide for me at Little Fishes, with gentle suggestions and encouragement. Before I joined the choir here, I checked two very important things. The first, in a quick panicked whisper, making sure I could receive communion here, what with all the talk about the Virgin Mary. And I wandered into a Roman Catholic church by mistake. I'm still learning what it means to be an Anglo-Catholic now, but going to services without incense seems very odd to me these days, so perhaps I'm getting there. The second thing was whether you had women priests. In Worcester, I'd have loved to take part in some cathedral services as a singer, but they are very proud of their all-male voluntary choir. It seems ridiculous to me not to let people use their gifts as singers or priests or anything else because they don't have male anatomy. And I wanted to be somewhere where old-fashioned attitudes wouldn't hinder me. Another thing that struck me on that Advent Sunday, apart from the beauty of the music, was the warmth. How welcoming you all are. And since then, the way people ask, "How are you?" and actually mean it. They remember things you told them previously. Ask how your shopping trip, party, or dental appointment went. One week I was told, "Your Braille hymn books have arrived." I didn't even know they had been ordered and was really touched. So thank you. Thank you all for being my wonderful church family. I don't know why God chose me to come here, but I'm very glad she did. Yes, I did say she. If we are made in God's image,